Now, the trade season in the NBA has come and gone. We look forward to the All-Star weekend, or really do we? But nevertheless, some more trades took place. Got to dive into some college basketball. And then a tribute to two pioneers of the game of basketball. Today here on Shooting the Lights Out. And it starts right now.
Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick it again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting Lights Out.
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing today? February 12th, 2025 is on a Wednesday, 2 days away from Valentine's Day, which means 2 days away from All-Star Weekend. And if I can be full disclosure here, I'm not really looking forward to All-Star Weekend. To be completely honest, I'm really not. I'm just not. They don't make All-Star the way it's supposed to be anymore. So, I mean, it is what it is. But nevertheless, I'm here. I'm back. Had a great time in New Orleans. New Orleans was fun. I'll talk about that more on Ramley Talk because I did get to meet some Rams players down in New Orleans. Didn't see no basketball players. Thought I would probably run into Zion Williamson down in New Orleans. Never did. Didn't run into no Pelican players down there. It's a little bummed out, but hey, it is what it is. I was there for football reasons. Was hoping to get some basketball players around, but it didn't happen. Nevertheless, I'm here. Time to pick up my basketball talk here. We are midway through the month of February, which means that in about 2 weeks we'll be in March, which means March Madness is right around the corner. So I definitely got to talk some college basketball. Got to get ready for that. Like I said, All-Star Weekend is right around the corner. Not looking forward to it, whatever. But we're going to do what we got to do here. So we're going to jump into it. Got a pretty good show for you today. And first things first, we got to go around the hardwood. And to begin around the hardwood, Neil Frontier lands a 3-year extension at Georgia Tech. This is on the women's side because what he has done at Georgia Tech this year is amazing. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are having a phenomenal season right now. They are in the top 25. They are having a great season. It is a remarkable turnaround. You don't normally hear about Georgia Tech in basketball, especially on the ladies' side. But what's going on down in the ATL right now, if you're a Yellow Jacket fan, you should be thrilled right now, as the Yellow Jackets are. They are doing some things that gives you another opportunity to make some things happen. Georgia Tech is currently ranked 19th right now. They have a record of 20-4. They only lost 4 games this year. They have won 20 games. They are 8-4 in the ACC. What a phenomenal job. So, yes, you getting a 3-year extension, well worth it. Nobody should be complaining about that because it is rightfully deserved, all right? Going to our next topic. The SEC distribute $52.6 million to each of its 14 members for 2023-2024. Now, I'm going to just go ahead and read some things from the article here. This is from ESPN. The SEC distributed an average of almost $52.6 million to the full 14 full members of the 2023-2024 season in a slight increase from previous years, according to its tax filings. The league announces revenue figures and releases tax filings Thursday of the fiscal year that ended in August, which include Oklahoma and Texas, who newly joined in July, by the way, expanding the SEC to 16 teams as it is currently. The Sooners and the Longhorns, they both received $27.5 million in what the league described is at what the league describes in a news release as a transition payment, according to the mixed TV agreement, refundable application fees, and all this other stuff. So, overall, the SEC league reported a slight dip in total revenue going from $852.6 million from 2022 to 2023 to $839.7 million in 2023-2024. The SEC is something different. And if you've been paying attention to the basketball season, that number could go up because what's going on in basketball right now is ridiculous. The SEC has been dominating this year in basketball. They started off good in football. Of course, we know what happened, but basketball has picked up. We're in baseball season now. Baseball's starting to look good. So the SEC, their reputation of being the best conference is still alive and well right about now. All right? Just letting you know. Speaking of basketball and the ladies, Lauren Betts says she will return for her senior season at UCLA. Now, this was 5 days ago. Anything can change now, but the way that UCLA is running right now and doing things, they are the team to beat. If you caught me the last time on the first episode of this season, or season three, I told you UCLA is the team to beat, and she's one of the reasons why. If she does, she can change her mind now. She can change her mind. We can see what anything can happen from now until the end of the season. But for right now, 5 days ago, she's committed to return to UCLA for a senior year, which is not a bad thing whatsoever for Ms. Betts. So you keep doing your thing up in Cali, man, because y'all are very dangerous. This is the reason why y'all the number one team in the land. Moving on, Tom Izzo. He tied Bobby Knight's big tick win over the weekend and then failed to overtake it last night as the Michigan State Spartans fell to the aforementioned Bob Knight's Indiana Hoosiers out in East Lansing. That's a big win for Indiana, by the way. Very big win for them. But Tom Izzo will have to wait till his next game to break the all-time Big Ten wins record in basketball. Former Iowa player Ava Jones says she has Hopkins lymphoma. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, young lady. You had a nice career up in Iowa. It's a shame that Hopkins lymphoma is the diagnosis that you receive, which actually led to you stepping away from the game of basketball, by the way. And we send our thoughts and prayers with you as you fight this cancer, and that you can live life to the fullest and defeat Hopkins lymphoma in the process. Giannis Antetokounmpo, as we go into the NBA segment now, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been ruled out through the All-Star break. He was injured. I think he had a hamstring, some type of leg injury, and he's out. Trae Young, who was distraught about it, and I'm going to go back to this later. I'll get to that, but Trae Young is his replacement. Joel Embiid announces he might need another knee surgery. As you can tell, there's a lot of skepticism going around. You see what happened to Luka Doncic, got traded to the Lakers because conditioning and I was injured, and the Mavs did not want to pay him $350 million going forward. We saw that Chris Middleton got traded to the Washington Wizards for injury reasons. As you can tell, Sixers might be next on that list because Joel Embiid cannot stay on the court. He just cannot stay on the court. Best ability is availability. And if Joel needs another knee surgery, depending on when he decides to get it, could be the end of his season. Who knows? This is a recurring theme right here. And this is why the process of the 76ers has been a failure. And all things has been a failure. Have not made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Have not made it to the NBA Finals, which means you have not won a championship. So the process in Philadelphia has been a failure. And it's because of injuries to Joel Embiid. You got Paul George, but he barely paid in a Sixers uniform. And then when he does play, he's not PG-13. He's just Paul George. He's not been PG-13. So, yes. The process of Joel Embiid in Philadelphia has been a failure. And how long will the Sixers continue to go down this route? Because this is not going the way that you thought. And it's been years now. Years. Anthony Davis, he'll be out multiple weeks with an abdominal strain. Kind of sucks that happened. And it happened in the first game in a Dallas Mavericks uniform against the Houston Rockets. Kind of sucks that happened, but he's going to be out multiple weeks. You got more news about the Mavericks coming up in a bit, so I'm going to tell you that right there. As I said earlier, Trae Young, it will be replacing Giannis Antetokounmpo for the All-Star game. He was snubbed to most people. He was snubbed from making the All-Star, but now he's in the All-Star because Giannis got hurt. Probably ain't the way he want to be in the All-Star game, but hey, you got what you want. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Somebody had to get hurt for Trae Young to get in. No comment. Elijah Martin was back for the Florida Gators last night. Unfortunately for us, Alex Condon got injured. I'll speak more about that when we get to the men's college basketball segment of the show today. But yes, Elijah Martin is back for the Florida Gators. He was back last night to go against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Luka Doncic played his first game against the Utah Jazz back on Monday. And he'll be seeing the Utah Jazz again today. Now, on Monday, he made his debut in the Lakers uniform at Crypto.com Arena, home of the Lakers. Now he gets to make the trip to Salt Lake City to take on the same team he just debuted against 2 days ago against the Utah Jazz. So prepare to see Luka against the Utah Jazz yet again, this time in Salt Lake City, ladies and gentlemen. That will be tonight. And remember I said I had some more news about the Dallas Mavericks? Well, their center, Daniel Gafford, he's out with a knee sprain. So at first, he lost Anthony Davis. He also didn't have Derek Lively. Now you don't have Godfrey. The Mavs are beat up. And this is the wrong time to get beat up. While you getting beat up, the West is getting more competitive. The West is getting more hard to win, hard to compete in. And you do not want to have these many injuries, especially into your front court. Your front court is the one that's injured. Which means a lot more pressure on Kyrie Irving. There's a lot more pressure on Klay Thompson to keep the ship afloat for at least a play-in, maybe a 7-6 seed. But, man, it is tough. It's a tough sledding for the Dallas Mavericks after this trade. And, by the way, a trade where people are not happy about down in Dallas right about now. Protests during the game. Protests. So, Mr. Harris needs to be fired for trading Luka Doncic. He double down, though. I'll give him that. Nico double down. Says, I still feel good about my trade. And y'all will see. But we shall see. But right now, we have a beat-up Dallas Mavericks team, and now you have to fight for survival in the Western Conference. And then finally, round of applause for Kevin Durant. Last night, despite losing to the Memphis Grizzlies at home, Kevin Durant became the 8th player to score 30,000 career points in the NBA. As you can see here, started his career with the Seattle SuperSonics before they moved to become the Oklahoma City Thunder, winning 2 championships with the Golden State Warriors before teaming up with Kyrie in Brooklyn, and now him in the Phoenix Suns uniform. He needed 26 points last night to get there. He got that. I think he scored 30, maybe 31, if I remember correctly, and losing effort. But congratulations to Kevin Durant, the 8th player in NBA history with 30,000 career points. Hell of a score, man. You was a bucket getter, no question about it. You was a great scorer, one of the greatest scorers in the game. So we want to send our congratulations to Kevin Durant on reaching this achievement here and doing things his way and his way only. So that would do it for Around the Hardwood. All right, we're going to take our first commercial break here, but when we come back, it will be basketball time. We talking ladies, so we'll be back.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos.
Thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to buy WWE, I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, a.k.a. the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is a basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay. Now, as a wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler and everything that WWE could have done with him and, you know, everything that he could have shown and, you know, offered for the wrestling business, you know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like, I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the excitement and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there, seen LA Knight. Oh, okay. Then we LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go. Yeah!
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out here on this Wednesday, February 12th, 2025. And, hey, reason why I played my wrestling break first, because we are on the road to WrestleMania. We just had Elimination Chamber not that long ago. Jey Uso, Charlotte Flair winning the respectable Royal Rumbles to head to WrestleMania. Next up is Elimination Chamber, which in a couple of weeks, March 1st. And you can catch Ringside Chaos led by my man Alex Agazai, a.k.a. the Bear Man of Texas. Or you can catch me alongside my boy Cool McCain on Mondays. Every Monday, 6:30 p.m., leading you up to Monday Night Raw on Monarchs of Wrestling, Play Carter Sports Talk YouTube channel, okay, the Shady Sports Network. Shout out to them. And speaking of shout out to Real Wise Radio, where you can catch Shooting the Lights Out there. You can also catch Shooting the Lights Out on 502 American Angel Radio. And then, as always, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Is that you can listen to Shooting the Lights Out going forward, okay? Now we got in there. Now, let's talk some basketball. And we're going to start off with the ladies, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go already back to the weekend. Let's go back to Saturday. Juju Watkins led the Master. No, let me take that back. It wasn't really Juju. Kiki Effring led the 7th-ranked Trojans over the win over 8th-ranked Buckeyes down in Los Angeles, California, 84-63, a 21-point beatdown in a top 10 Big Ten showdown. Wow. After Trojans moved to 21-2 on the season after Saturday's win, good for them. Oh, the Ohio State Buckeyes dropped to 20-3 for them. And then down in the Big 12, 25 Oklahoma State Cowboys knocked off 12th-ranked Kansas Wildcats by 30. That is not a mistake, ladies and gentlemen. That is 85-55. A 30-point dumping Cowboys to the Wildcats. Big 12 could be something interesting to look forward to as we get go down the stretch and we get closer and closer to conference tournament and then March Madness, and it's going to be amazing. Telling you this right now, both the women and the men's will finally have the same excitement when it comes to March Madness, because what has been going on this year in both basketball leagues has been phenomenal. Just phenomenal. The plays of the ladies, the plays of the men. Oh, it is. Oh, this March Madness is going to be something to behold, because both the men and the women have been on one. I'm not loving it. That was Saturday. Let's move to Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, Dawn Staley has lost the second game in a season. Because on Sunday, the Texas Longhorns, the fourth-ranked Longhorns, shout out to Cole Johnson, took down the number two team, South Carolina Gamecocks. Yes, that are reigning defending champions, took an L over the weekend. Their second L on the season, 66-62. And Madison Booker, a.k.a. the female Kevin Durant. Yes, I am calling her the female Kevin Durant. She was on one against the Gamecocks of South Carolina. By the way, it's already bad enough. She's wearing the number 35. We all know who wore 35 at Texas. Who's wearing 35 now? Right now, he's playing for the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant. But Madison Booker, 20 points, 11 boards to lead the Longhorns in a probably. I wish I had Cole Johnson on here. He probably can tell me. I think this is probably Texas' biggest win in program history in basketball, both men and women, if I'm being crazy honest with you. Because I can't think of a bigger win for the Texas program in basketball than this. You just knocked off number two at home in a top five SEC matchup. You know? So, congrats. And Madison Booker, she's a baller. She is a baller. And then the team that will be number two, once I show you the rankings, will be those of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They took down 21 ranked Cal 91-50. That must beat them by 40. Look here, when it comes to Notre Dame, man, when you have somebody like Hannah Hidalgo along with Olivia Miles and Coach Ivy as the coach, man, look here. This team is something else, okay? Man, Hannah Hidalgo, let me see where we at. 24 points, 5 assists. You know, 10 for 20 from the field, shot 50% from the field, 4 for 5 from three-point range. 80% from three. 80% from three. That is ridiculous. And then Olivia Miles, 60. She put up 60 points, gave you 7 boards, and gave you 6 dimes. I mean, what more do you want? I mean, this team here. Between Olivia Miles and Hannah Hidalgo, Notre Dame gonna be a team to watch out if you South Carolina, if you UCLA. They have a star in Hidalgo. And stars can knock off a team. We have seen it plenty of times in basketball. A superstar can be good enough to knock off a whole team because it gives the rest of her teammates or their teammates the power to say, if I play my game along with our superstar, we can pull this off. So watch out. Notre Dame is something serious. Very, very serious. And then we go down back to the SEC country with LSU. They bounced back from their loss to South Carolina, and they knocked off 19th ranked Tennessee, 82-77. Good win for them. Good bounce back when they needed that after that loss to South Carolina, which they're having a hard time beating South Carolina, but nice feeling on the bounce back. And kind of a disappointing loss for Tennessee as well, because you couldn't follow up that big win over UConn. Your very next game against LSU, you took an L. So LSU bounced back very well, and Tennessee, they didn't follow up their big win over UConn. So let's see how both teams respond in their next game. And then in the ACC, the Wolfpack, the NC State Wolfpack ranked 14th. They went to Tallahassee and took down 22nd ranked Florida State by 23 points. Ugh, that is all right. And with those results, here is the new AP Top 25 for the ladies. As always, the only unbeaten team in the nation is the UCLA Bruins. That includes the men as well. The Lady Bruins are undefeated, so they're obviously going to stay number one. South Carolina lost, so that I told you earlier. Notre Dame moved up to number two. Texas beat South Carolina, so they get three. And then South Carolina, the reigning defending national champions, are at four. LSU five, followed by USC, UConn, Kentucky, Ohio State, and NC State round out the top 10. And then UC 11 through 25. But this little Texas, South Carolina, LSU, 3, 4, 5. Three teams from the Southeast Conference in the top five. Then you add Kentucky in, and that's four teams in the top 10. I didn't even get to the men's. So the men's is even more ridiculous when it comes to the Southeastern Conference. It's more ridiculous with them. But just know, four teams from the Southeastern Conference ranked in the top 10. Then we didn't even get to Tennessee, Oklahoma, Alabama. That's three more teams in the top 25. Seven teams in the top 25. Almost one third of the polls is Southeastern Conference. I mean, when I open it saying that the Southeastern Conference has been dominating basketball, I was not lying. I'm not saying it because I'm a Southeastern Conference guy. I'm saying it because this is what I'm seeing. 17 in the top 25 are from the Southeastern Conference. It's just what it is. Now, those of you want to say, what about the ACC for the ladies? So, okay, you got Notre Dame. All right. You got NC State. You got North Carolina. That's three. You got Georgia Tech, who's ranked 19th. And there's a hell of a surprise. If there was any surprise, it'll be the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And you got Florida State, five. You got five. Big Ten, UCLA, USC, Ohio State, Maryland, Michigan State, it's five. So I'm just saying the SEC is on one. I don't know what it is about the Southeastern Conference. Didn't have the results that they wanted in football, but they are on their way in basketball for damn sure. All right. But that's how the show came out Monday. And speaking of the SEC, we did have an upset to begin the week. Ole Miss took down a Frank Kentucky 66-57. Kentucky jumped out to the lead. You know, they had a 8-point lead at the half and then was held to 20 points in the second half. Was outscored 35-20 in the second half. And that's how they end up getting upset by Ole Miss. Big win for Ole Miss, by the way, because Ole Miss been struggling this year. Usually Ole Miss is another team that's usually ranked in the top 25. Usually a team you got to look out for on the women's side. They've been struggling this year, so this is a huge win for Ole Miss. I want y'all to understand, the struggles that Ole Miss has been having this year, this is a big win for the Lady Rebels, okay? Hopefully they can build on this as we get closer and closer to conference tournament to position themselves to get into the dance, because Ole Miss should be one of the teams that's in a conversation of going to in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, but they've been struggling this year, so we'll see if this is the win that they needed to get them back on the right track. And then yesterday, we had a top 25 showdown in the Big 12. AT-ranked West Virginia traveled down to Waco, Texas to take on 25th-ranked Baylor, and Baylor Bears came out with a 10-point win. That was a good win for those ladies there. The Lady Bears, 21-5 on the season, dropping the Lady Mountaineers, 19-5 on the season. So we're going to get some more big games, okay, before we get into conference tournament time. And we're going to see who's going to position themselves, who on the bubble, who's going to put themselves in line to get a automatic bid or an at-large bid before going into conference tournament for the ladies. We will go from there. But for right now, it's been a good thing. Now, before I go, tomorrow is a big day for the ladies. Okay, you see it on your screen right here. Beginning at 6 o'clock tomorrow, Louisville is in Tallahassee to take on 23rd ranked Florida State. Do not sleep on the Louisville Cardinals. They still can play some freaking ball. They are 17-7 on the season. It's not what they normally are around this point in time. They're usually better than that. They're usually about 20-4, 20-3 around this time. But hey, do not sleep on the Louisville Cardinals, okay? Florida State, you already took an L. Don't add another L to it if you overlook Louisville, okay? And then the first of two big games. Number one, 7 p.m. ESPN2. Rupp Arena should be packed. Rupp Arena should be on fire. A-Frank, Kentucky hosting third-ranked Texas. Yet again, here's another situation similar to Tennessee and LSU. Kentucky is coming off an upset loss to Ole Miss on Monday. Tennessee is coming off their biggest win in program history, knocking off number 2 and reigning defending champion South Carolina. Can Texas follow up that monster win with a trip to Rupp Arena and get a big-time W over a Frank team? Or will Kentucky bounce back from that upset loss that they took Monday and knock off the third-ranked team in the country in the Texas Longhorns? So you're going to get some more big games. And then once 30 minutes after that on Peacock 730, the ninth-ranked Buckeyes, they'll look to bounce back to get themselves back right as they host the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Now, Minnesota with 19-6 record makes me a little tricky about them when they go to Ohio State. Because Ohio State, you can say them 3 losses has been a little disappointing. But they are still 20-3, so we're going to put respect where respect is due. Can Minnesota pull off a big upset? Because if Minnesota can pull this off and get to 20-6, that's one of the teams that will line themselves up for an at-large bid to get in before conference tournament play, because you knocked off number 9 in the country and you did it on the road. The committee looks at those like that. 1, what type of team did you beat? 2, where did you beat them? And 3, how did you beat them? So if Minnesota can go to Ohio State and knock off number 9, get the 20-6, they line themselves up for a nice at-large bid. And then the game of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Game of the week. 10 o'clock. Peacock at the Minnesota, Ohio State. The battle for Los Angeles. Number 1, 23-0, UCLA Bruins against number 6, 21-2, USC Trojans. I will be home in time to watch this game. I will be up late night watching this game. You have Lauren Betts and the Bruins going against Juju Watkins and the Trojans. If you can be up late to watch this game, watch this game. Remember, on both sides, men and women, UCLA is the lone unbeaten team in college basketball. And you're talking about USC. We already know about Juju Watkins. Kiki Irving is on this team. This is going to be a fight to the finish. I'm looking forward to a competitive game for 40 minutes. 4 hard quarters of basketball to be played in Los Angeles. And usually, I'm not the one to usually get excited about California games, to be honest with you. Because I'm one of the biggest USC Trojan haters out there. Full disclosure. But I love Juju Watkins and what she brings to the table or the court. And seeing how what UCLA is like, when I watch them go against Maryland at Maryland, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. I will watch this game when I get to the house tomorrow night. I'm telling you right now, if you can stay up. Now, if you got to go up and get up early in the morning, go ahead, go to sleep, do what you got to do. But if you are able to stay up to watch this game at 10 p.m. tomorrow, I advise you to do so, because this is a game to watch. That's the game to watch now. And that will do it for my coverage of the ladies' side of the rim. Take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to hop over to the men's side and talk that basketball. We'll be back.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime. Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, The World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Get Mouse Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, the new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun action-packed adventure for the whole family and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green and the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
Thank you and welcome back to Shooting Lights Out here today. Those of you who don't know, Paramount Plus, Fanatics, Liz are all sponsors of the Playmakers Ball Sports Network. So if you want to get your gear, any type of sports gear you're looking for, you got Liz, you got Fanatics, click on our links in the show notes to get you a nice good deal and a nice discount. And then Paramount Plus, you know, stream live sports, stream entertainment, whatever the case may be, you know, Nickelodeon, BET, MTV, the whole nine yards. You got Showtime on there now. So get you a deal with Paramount Plus, Mountains of Entertainment. Now, let's get back into it. Men's college basketball. We did our ladies. Now we got to do our men. Let's get to the men. Let's get to the weekend, shall we? On Friday, we had the St. John's Red Storm go into UConn and knock off the UConn Huskies. The reigning defending champions already have seven losses. They already have seven losses. Darren Hurley came back, and he has a team that he might not be used to at this moment in time. Because seven losses already is not what you expected from the reigning defending champions, especially when you bring Dan Hurley back. And he didn't take the Lakers job. But what Coach Pitino is doing in St. John's right now, them boys are 21-3 on the season. Rick Pitino has the Red Storm playing some good basketball. And you can't deny that. It can't be denied. Now, we're going to be respectable to Dan Hurley and the UConn Huskies. You lost seven games already, but you are the reigning defending champ. So we're going to give you some leeway from the time being. But remember, this is February 12th. All right. You got about 3 weeks left. Let me see. Let me look at the calendar. Going through. So you got close to a month, all right? The last regular season game for college basketball is March 9th, and that's Michigan and Michigan State. So you got about a month left, Dan Hurley, to figure some stuff out, get UConn looking like UConn again. Excuse me. But we're going to give you a month. That's all you got? Because you already got seven losses. I think this is more losses than the last two seasons combined for UConn. Because, jeez. I've never seen UConn like this. But that's not the only game we're going to talk about when it comes to UConn. We'll get back to UConn and something else that was unusual for us to watch when it comes to the UConn Huskies. But that was Friday. Let's go to Saturday. Those of you who know me, you know who I'm a fan of. Those of you who don't know and you're watching and shooting myself for the first time, I am an avid Florida Gator fan. Okay? As you can see here, the first game on the docket, Florida 90, Auburn 81. Down in the jungle of Auburn, Alabama. This is the second time the Florida Gators have knocked off number one this year. Go back to when they played against the Tennessee Volunteers when they was number one down in Gainesville, and they beat them by 30. By 30. Fast forward to Saturday. They dump. Don't let the 9-point win fool you. Florida dominated number one Auburn. Dominated them in front of their own crowd in their own building. It was a dominating performance. Alex Cardon, our front court was sensational. You know, Clayton Jr. was on one. Will Richards hit timely shots. The defense of the Gators has been very impressive this year. The defense of the Gators has been very impressive. Todd Golden has done a phenomenal. This is third season. Third season at the head with the Florida Gators, and this is the result that we're getting. As I like to tell people, I tell them on my show, Bearing Down and Gray Down, when I talk college football, I tell them on this show, and I'm going to say it again, I like to give coaches 3 years. When you give coaches 3 years, that gives them time to, one, year one, get to know the player, get to know your team, and figure out, see how your team plays, see what we need to make mistakes at. That's why I like year one to be year one. Year one is whatever. Okay, whatever that is, okay, that's the starting point. Now we need to see. Year two, I need to see a little bit of improvement. You saw what year one was like. You seen what the holes was there. You see what adjustments need to be made. Let's make those adjustments the year two. Year three is where your direction, where your program is supposed to be, because now you have you did your 2 years. Now year three is where you put your imprint on the program that you're coaching. As you can see, this is year three for Todd Golden. The Florida Gators are 20-3 on the season after Saturday's game. Now, they played last night. We're going to get to what they did last night on Monday. They played an extra game, but we'll get to that in a minute. Alabama got a nice win on the road versus a tricky Arkansas team coached by John Calipari. So, Nate Oates, phenomenal job making sure your team was ready to be in a fight with John Calipari and Arkansas Razorbacks, especially after they went to Rupp Arena and knocked off the Kentucky Wildcats. You had the Bud Williams Aggies of Texas A&M getting a 3-point victory at 15-ranked Missouri. Needed that win. Caleb Love and the Wildcats of Arizona got a much-needed win. A much-needed win of a 13-ranked Texas Tech at home that Saturday. Now we have some upsets on Saturday. Clemson knocked off Duke by 6. Big win for the Clemson Tigers. When everybody and their mama know, their grandma, their auntie, their uncles, their granddaddies, their daddies know that the ACC is Duke's to win, and everybody else is in for the invitation, they'll see who will be the last one standing in their way before they be our crowned ACC champions. Clemson has made a case now that if we was to see them for the ACC title, we can beat them. But you had your one chance. I don't think you can do it again. That's just my opinion. Creighton upset 11-ranked Marquette. And by the way, I don't know what's going on with Shaka Smart and the Golden Eagles up in Marquette, but it's been a struggle for these guys. They'll look good for a couple of games, and next thing you know, they're getting blasted. They look good for a couple of games, then they got blasted by Creighton. And then finally, the team that was picked number one in the preseason, the Kansas Jayhawks. Now, if I'm going to get on UConn about being a back-to-back national champion, then I already have 7 losses. When you're the preseason number one and you already had 7 losses, Kansas Jayhawks and Bill Self, that's a problem. And you let 11-11 team Kansas State beat you in the Sunflower Showdown. What's going on in Lawrence? What is going on in Lawrence with the Kansas Jayhawks? you're not the team that everybody expected you to be. What is going on here? We need some answers, Bill Self. We need some answers. Because we thought the Big 12 was going to be yours. Apparently it's not. That this season might be belonging to Houston, of all teams. But, man, what is going on in Kansas? What's going on at Storrs, Connecticut with the UConn? What is going on with these teams all of a sudden? These teams ain't the teams that we thought we were going to get. But that's what happens. And here is the Luly AP Top 25 ranking that came out Monday. Auburn is still number one because Duke lost and Tennessee lost and a lot of other teams lost. Alabama's number two, Duke number three, along with the Florida Gators. The one thing I hate about the AP. How is both teams get the same rankings? It's beyond me. If you want to put Duke three and make us four, let's do that. Or make us three and make Duke four. Don't matter. But these same rankings is stupid. It's only done in the AP. Only done in the AP. And the problem is with the AP, this is the only ranking system we have in the AP because we don't go with the coaches poll. We don't go with the USA poll. We just go with the AP poll, which is stupid. We need a new ranking system. Just is my opinion. Tennessee is five. Houston is six. Purdue is seven. Texas A&M eight. St. John's nine. Iowa State 10. Now, as I did with the ladies, as you can see, Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, four teams in the top 25 on the Southeastern Conference. Then you can add Texas A&M, which is five in the top 10. That's five teams. That's half of your top 25 SEC teams. And then you add a Kentucky, a Ole Miss, a Missouri, a Mississippi State. Nine teams from the Southeastern Conference ranked in the top 25. I'm not making this stuff up, people. When I tell you the Southeastern Conference is on one this year, they are on one this year with the ladies. There's 7 teams from that conference in the top 25. On the men's side, as you can see, there are 9 teams from that conference in the top 25. I'm not making this stuff up. I don't know what happened. But the Southeastern Conference is on one in basketball, which is something we're not used to seeing. But this conference currently is the best conference in basketball. Now, if you have any adjustments, please share it in the comments. I'm all ears for it. But what I'm saying is, as of right now, with the data that we have, and everybody has the same data, okay, the Southeastern Conference is the best conference in basketball currently. It used to be the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the ACC at times, but right now it is the Southeastern Conference. Now, don't get me wrong. Duke will have something to say about it. Houston will have something to say about it. You know, Iowa State will have something to say about it. The way St. John has been playing, they could have something to say about it. Never count out the defending champions. They're not even ranked, but we're not counting them out. But right now, the Southeastern Conference is definitely on one. And then we get to yesterday. We got Elijah Martin back for the Florida Gators, but we lost Alex Condon. Thankfully, it's only an ankle sprain. Could have looked at worse. We still handle business and beat Mississippi State 81-68, 15-point win. We go to 21-3 on the season. Kentucky bounced back and they knocked off Tennessee. Matter of fact, they swept Tennessee. They went to Knoxville and knocked off Tennessee earlier, I think in January. Now they went home to Rupp Arena and they knocked off Tennessee yet again. This time 75-64. So Tennessee suffers a big loss. Kentucky bounces back from a tough loss. And then speaking of Purdue, they suffered a loss to 20-ranked Michigan 75-73. The Big Ten is in limbo. Who would have thought the Big Ten is in limbo right now? We had some upsets as well last night. As I mentioned earlier, the Indiana Hoosiers stopped Tom Izzo from breaking the all-time Big Ten record of Bob Knight's, which he did it with the Indiana Hoosiers, by the way. They went to East Lansing and came out with a 4-point victory. So Tom Izzo will have to wait till the next game to break that record. What is up with Kansas State and knocking off ranked teams? The ladies did it. Now the men did it. They took down 13-ranked Arizona, 73-70. And then Yes, that, ladies and gentlemen, yes. If you're looking at the bottom of the screen and you see something real, yes, that is correct. UConn, who is not ranked, the reigning defending back-to-back champions are not ranked. They went into Nebraska and knocked out the Creighton Blue Jays, 70-66, who was ranked 24th now. Yeah, very disturbing, ain't it? Creighton is ranked and UConn is not. That's how bad it is at the stores right now. I don't know what's going on in the stores, but Dan Hurley, the reigning champions are not ranked. Maybe they get back in the rankings when next we get about. But they still got some more games to play. So hopefully they'll win those games and not lose any of them. So, but yes, yeah, seeing UConn without a number beside their name is very weird. But this is where we are at. Because these are the things that happen when you already lost seven games. Yeah, very strange. Very strange. But hey, UConn, they bounced back. They got a win. Dan Hurley let the Blue Jay crowd hear about it. So, ain't nothing else I can say on that one. Hey, but that would do it for our men's college basketball update for the show. Now, when we come back, we got to talk trade because some more trades happened while I was down in New Orleans for Super Bowl week that I didn't get a chance to get into. So, yeah, another break here, and then we'll be talking NBA trades.
The Big Ten.
How would people on the campus of Ohio State University, how would they look at Ryan Day?
The SEC.
Until somebody can show me that they can beat Georgia outside of Alabama, I got to roll with the Bulldogs.
The Big 12.
Mike Gundy, show me something. I picked you last year, okay?
The ACC.
I need Dabo Sweeney and the Clemson Tiger to show me that they are understanding what the mission is at hand.
And the Pac-12. Whoa. I'm sorry, the Pac-2. Join the Playmaker as he breaks down every single week all the hot college football games. Bearing down the gridiron on the Playmaker's Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts.
Sports fans are gearing up, whether it be for the madness of March, whether it be for the Super Bowl, or even a little thing called WrestleMania. You can get all that at Fanatics, where they have a wide selection of gear from every league, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the NHL, the NCAA, and the WWE. So go on and show that pride, that passion, that dedication fan that you are, by whipping your team, your league, or your favorite player. Fanatics, official license, everything.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze god.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can be the black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out. And then we just going to dive right into it. Let's talk about the NBA trades that took place during Super Bowl week. First on the list, the Milwaukee Bucks traded Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, and swap picks for Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin, and a second round pick or picks in this Washington Milwaukee trade. Very stunning trade that Chris Middleton was moved on from Milwaukee to Washington, but Kyle Kuzma joins in on the fray with the Milwaukee Bucks joining Giannis and the Cooper, who is injured, as we mentioned earlier. Dame Dollar, when we'll see how that goes, how that works out. Currently, the Milwaukee Bucks, they have lost 7 of the last 10 games. All right. They are coming off a loss from Monday against the Golden State Warriors, which we will talk about them and their big trade that they took place in a minute. That's after they had beat the 76ers. So we'll see how these trades work out for both teams. Milwaukee, they are in Minnesota tonight, 8 p.m. They'll take on Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So very shocking trade. Could definitely work out because you did swap pretty much same positions with Kyle Kuzma and Chris Middleton. We'll see if Kyle Kuzma can find that magic again that he found when he first got to Washington and he was the leading scorer for the Wizards. Let's see if he can find that magic again now that he has Giannis whenever he comes back. Well, he'll be back after the All-Star break. Dame Lillard, you still got Brooke Lopez on the team. Okay, you still got some guys that can play. So we'll see how that rolls tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But Chris Middleton, I don't know what to say to you, sir. You're at the worst team in the NBA. Nah, let me make sure my facts are correct. Hold on before I say that. Washington is 9-44. They are definitely the worst team in the NBA. I'm sorry that your career path has taken you this way, but it's a business. It's a business, and business is not fun at times. Just not. That's one trade. The big trade over the weekend outside of the Luka and AD trade. Jimmy Butler was traded to the Golden State Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, and a projected first round pick. Now, before I dive into it, since that trade, they are 2-0. They beat the Bulls 132-111 back on Saturday. And then on Monday, they, as we just talked about, they beat the Warriors. They beat the Bucks 125-111. So far, so good on that aspect. For me, however, I still don't like this trade. I think Golden State gave up too much for Jimmy Butler. However, since that trade, they he are 0-2. They lost to the Brooklyn Nets 86-102. And then they lost to the Boston Celtics, the reigning defending champions, 103-85. So far, it's working out in Golden State's favor, even though I still think they gave up too much. You gave up Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, and Kyle Anderson. Looking at it, their game against the Brooklyn Nets, you know, they were shorthanded because they didn't have none of the guys they traded for playing that game. And then against the Boston Celtics, let's see. You did have Andrew Wiggins make his debut. He only gave you 11 points on 3 or 12 shooting, which is terrible. That's 1-for-4 per shot. And Kyle Anderson gave you 10 minutes and gave you nothing but 3 rebounds. And that's it. No Dennis Schroeder, because Dennis Schroeder got traded like 5 damn times. I forget what he ended up in the Pistons. Dennis Schroeder got traded from the Warriors to the Heat to like the Jazz to like he was traded every goddamn well. I felt bad for Dennis Schroeder. I'm like, goddamn, that man just keep getting traded. Don't nobody want Dennis Schroeder? I guess not. So right now, the Heat are struggling. Golden State has won both of their games with Jimmy Butler. We'll see how that fares tonight. You have the Heat at OKC tonight. I definitely don't like their chances with that. If you're struggling now, I definitely don't like your chances when it comes to that. And then you have the Golden State Warriors. Where are the Warriors at? Because this is the first time in a long time all 30 teams are playing on the same day. So everybody's playing today. Even if you played yesterday, it's your second of a back-to-back. The Warriors are in Dallas to take on a beaten-up Dallas Mavericks team. That is 9:30. That is on ESPN. If anybody wants to watch that game. But yes, all 30 teams are playing tonight. So you will see the Heat. You will see the Warriors in action tonight. You will also see every other team in action tonight. Oh, and by the way, Jimmy Butler got a contract extension, reportedly, lining up a 2-year extension for $121 million. That was reported. So congratulations to him on getting traded and getting paid, which makes me even like don't like the trade even more, because you don't even know how long you're going to have Steph Curry. You don't even know how long you're going to have Jimmy Butler. You don't even know how long you're going to have Draymond Green. So it's like win now mentality for the Golden State Warriors. And if you don't win, what's next? What's next? So that's the question. And then you had Brandon Ingram get traded out of New Orleans for Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, a future first round and second round pick from the Toronto Raptors. Oh, and by the way, Brandon Ingram, he got a contract extension. He got a 3-year, $120 million extension with the Raptors after he was traded. So we'll see how that goes. And they got a nice squad, you know. I think they got a nice squad. I might like this squad here for the Toronto Raptors. Now you have Brandon Ingram teaming up with Scottie Barnes and RJ Barrett. Okay, so you might can do some things with Brandon Ingram here. We'll see how that works. But tonight, they are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Cleveland has been on one this year. Best record in the NBA. Well, tied for the best record in the NBA, because Oklahoma City is 43-9 and Cleveland is 43-10. Basically, a tie to me, even though Cleveland has one more loss than the Oklahoma City Thunder, because they played one more game than the Thunder. But they're tops in the East, followed by the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks running up the top three in the East. So we'll see what the new look Raptors look like tonight when they face top seeded Cleveland up north, up in Toronto. Which is very interesting, by the way. Very, very interesting. And finally, DeAndre Hunter was traded from the Atlanta Hawks to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Caris LeVert, Joyce Niang, 3 second-round picks, and 2 first-round pick swaps. So Atlanta made a move. Cleveland made a move. And the thing is, Cleveland actually might have gotten better, even though they gave up more assets, if you think about it. You still got Donovan Mitchell. You still got Jerry Allen. You still got Darius Garland. You still got Evan Mobley. You still got Isaiah Okoro, Matt Strus. They actually might have gotten better with the addition of DeAndre Hunter, which is a scary thought because they're already number one team in the East, which tells me Cleveland are not sitting on their morals. They want to make sure they have the pieces to knock off the Boston Celtics. That's what that move was. That was a move to say, Boston, we are not playing with y'all. We are coming for y'all throats. That was what that trade was for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, will that be enough? I doubt it, because we're talking about the reigning defending champions who pretty much came back in tow. Okay, you still got Jaylen Brown. You still got Jason Tatum. You still got Jrue Holiday, Al Horford, Kristaps Porzingis. Okay, you still got Sam Hauser. You still got Derrick Rose. You still got your core. And not to mention, you added Torian Craig to your list. So pretty much add to the defense. That's already a good defense. You got Luke Kennard. I mean, Peyton Pritchard still there. But I applaud Cleveland for making the move. I really do. Because it says we still need a piece or two to really challenge the Boston. Which then they went out and got DeAndre Hunter. They want to challenge the Boston Celtics for the East, which I am good with. The Knicks want to challenge the Boston Celtics for the East, which I am good with. Which makes the East a little bit more interesting here. A little bit more interesting to see how the East goes down. Because you know the West, it's the Wild Wild West over there. You got OKC dominant. Then next thing you know, the Denver Nuggets might wake up and actually remember, oh, we are champions. We did win a ring like 2 years ago, right? Okay. Wake up. Let's get going. The Lakers with Luka and LeBron, we don't know how that's going to go, so that can go either way. Also a good start when you beat the Utah Jazz, and they play the Jazz tonight, by the way. Okay. Minnesota, they've been up and down, but they can turn it on whenever they want to. If Dallas get healthy in time, they can make another run and try to get back to the finals. The Clippers, nobody talking about the Clippers, but the Clippers are doing pretty good. The Clippers are currently 6 in the West right now, 29-3. The surprising Houston Rockets sitting in 5th with 33-20. Don't forget about the Memphis Grizzlies, second in the West right now at 36-17. And then you got Golden State fighting for a spot, Sacramento fighting for a spot. That's the 9-10 team. Outside looking in, the Phoenix Suns, but if they ever get their act together, which they probably won't because they don't have the cap space to do so. They on the outside looking in. You got San Antonio trying to make moves and make things happen. So the Wild Wild West is going to be the Wild Wild West. But the East, we already know, is Boston. Cleveland made a move to get better. All right, New York, they made moves in offseason to get better. Okay? You already know about the Boston Celtics. Indiana, they're trying to do better. We'll see how Milwaukee look when Giannis comes back, and it's Giannis, Kyle Kuzma, and Damian Lillard all on the court at the same time. Philly, like I said earlier, this process the Philadelphia 76ers, they can't stay healthy, they can't get to the, and they can't get to any NBA finals. Okay? My Magic started off good, but injuries have their real, that's the real doesn't, and we can't get back on track whatsoever. This is the things. So you literally have five teams that can actually fight for the East. Four teams that actually can fight Boston for the East, because Boston is the team to beat in the East. Cleveland, New York, Indiana, and Milwaukee. That's it. Everybody else, you're not touching Boston. Now you're the Miami Heat. But in the West, OKC, let me take this down as I could finish this off. OKC, so OKC's in the West. So anyways, OKC, Memphis, Denver, the Lakers, the Rockets, the Clippers, the Timberwolves, and we'll see if Dallas, Sacramento, and Golden State can find their rhythm and get back into it. And then Phoenix as well. But currently right now, the class of the West right now belongs to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Even though the Cavaliers is number one in the East, that title of class of the East still belongs to the Boston Celtics. To be the champs, you have to beat the champs. And the champs reside in the East with the Boston Celtics. I love what the Knicks did during the offseason. I love what the Cavaliers did during the trade season. Now can neither one of them challenge the Boston Celtics for the East? We shall see. And that would do it for our NBA talk. One final commercial break, and then when we come back, got to pay tribute to two legends. It's only the right thing to do to end the show. We'll be back.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids from the block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willie in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Liz. Liz is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Liz has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country.
All right, as we get ready to close up shop today, we have to pay tribute to two individuals of the basketball game. Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Vitale made his return, and Huey Brown called it quits, ladies and gentlemen. First off, let's start with Diggy V. Welcome back, Dick Vitale. It is awesome with a capital A. Dick Vitale made his return from battling cancer for 2 whole years. Not just cancer, throat cancer at that. He returned to call the Clemson upset win over the Duke Blue Devils on Saturday night. I was very happy to see Dick Vitale back on the court calling games. As you can see the sign behind him, Clemson was ready for the return of Diggy V. Y'all gave Diggy V the warmest welcome he could ever receive to return to the game that he loves calling, which is college basketball. Yes, Dick Vitale was very emotional. He should be very emotional. The man battled cancer for 2 years. The man did not know if he would ever return to call a college basketball game ever again, especially throat cancer, which he could not talk. So those of you who didn't like hearing Dick Vitale speak is a reason behind that. If you kept up with the story of Dick Vitale, you would have known he was battling throat cancer. Cancer, period, would take everything out of you, by the way. But he specifically was throat cancer. Okay? So, yes, when he came back, he was not going to sound like Dick Vitale out the gate. He was going to sound rough. It was going to sound like this. But we understood the magnitude. You returned. You beat cancer, and you returned to the game of college basketball. And you got to call an upset. You got to see Duke for the first time live in person with Cooper Flagg leading the way. And the Clemson Tigers played bully ball and out-physical the Duke Blue Devils and pulled off the upset of number 2 in the country. So, Diggy B, it was great to have you back. It was good to see you return, and we hope that you can make it through the rest of the season. Now, if you had to take some time in between games, we're all good for that. But we just want to know. We just want to make sure we get to hear Dick Vitale when it's time. When them big games come, maybe you call a Florida game because you know you love the Rowdy Reptiles there. And I shout out to Jimmy Dyson when they called the Florida-Tennessee game last month. They mentioned the Rowdy Reptiles in honor of Dick Vitale. Hit Cameron Indoor's call you a Duke game. Go to Chapel Hill and talk about what's going on with the North Carolina. We want to see Dick Vitale back in the lights. Now, we want Dick Vitale back quick, fast, and hurry. But we have to remember that man just finished beating cancer 2 years for 2 whole years. Let's make sure Dick Vitale get his rest when they need it to. Okay, let's not overwork Dick Vitale. You know, is working back in slowly. Okay, but the fact that you return is all that matters to us, especially a person like me who loves, you're talking about one of my favorite basketball commentators of college basketball, Dick Vitale. Jimmy Dyson is number 2 on that list, by the way. Jay Billis would be 3. Love Jay Billis, but I love the way Jimmy Dyson called basketball games. I just love it. But having Dick Vitale back was a great thing for me to watch, to listen to. I felt great pleasure seeing Dick Vitale back in the booth to call college basketball games. Now, it was great to watch Dick Vitale come back. It's sad to say goodbye to Huey Brown. Farewell, Huey Brown. 35 years of excellent television of calling games. He had another 15 years coaching the game of basketball, by the way. But 35 years in the booth calling basketball games was Huey Brown. Nothing but excellence. The way people look, when I see people post stuff on social media, it's always good things about Huey Brown and how he calls games. And he called his final game when the Milwaukee Bucks took on the, I want to say 76ers, if I remember correctly. That was over the weekend as well. Dick Vitale came back Saturday. Huey Brown said goodbye Sunday. That's literally how that worked. Back-to-back days. He called the Bucks 135-127 win over the 76ers on Sunday afternoon, leading up to Super Bowl 59, and Huey Brown called his final game. The 91-year-old man, he did a phenomenal job. Like I said, 35 years of excellence on TV, calling games, and radio, by the way. Let's not forget radio. He coached 15 years of basketball. It's been an honor and a privilege to listen to you talk, call games, and break it down the way that most people don't break down a game of basketball or how it should be played. Hubie Brown, you was rewarded with the game ball after the game. The head ref came over to Hubie Brown, gave him the game ball. Players from both teams shook Hubie Brown's hands leading up to the game. You got to see Brook Lopez out there to shake his hand. You got to see Dame Lillard shake his hand. It was an honor and a celebration for one of the greatest commentators of the NBA to call the game of basketball for the NBA, Hubie Brown. So, Hubie, congratulations, sir, on a hell of a job. Well done. Game of excellence as you have displayed to us for basketball. So, we welcome back Dick Vitale to the game of college basketball, and we say so long to Hubie Brown, the man, the myth, the legend of the NBA commentary booth, stepped away on Sunday after the Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks game with Milwaukee. When the Bucks won 135-127, Dick Vitale returned to call the upset of the Clemson Tigers over number two Blue Devils. And that's how we're going to end this show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for watching. I will talk to y'all next week to get back into the rhythm of calling basketball here on Shooting the Lights Out.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.